All right, why don't we stand? We sing some songs.
Well, that was a beautiful song. We haven't sang that in a while. I was thinking as we were singing that some of the truths of Christianity are a little hard to connect with. One of them we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white. Think about that. And once in a while, I'll run into someone and I'll invite him to church. And there's one guy who lives kind of in the neighborhood, and I see him every so often. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, "Hey, why don't you, you can walk. You know, we're right over there. Come to church." And he says, "You know, if I walked in, the building would fall down." You ever have someone tell you that? Say, "Hey, come to church. Come on, stop by. You know, we're just a church family." No, the building would fall down. You know what that means? I've had my grandmother, my dad's mom used to say that. No, the building would fall down. It means this would never work. I feel so bad about my life, where I've been, the things I've done, that if I walk in, for atoned by his blood and washed white, not for me, I'm too bad. Deep down, that's what it means, that they have a hard time believing that that's true. And thank goodness that our forgiveness and being washed white isn't dependent on how good we are, but on how good he is, that he is complete, and he's the one doing the washing. So I appreciate you leading us in that. It's a beautiful song. But anyway, I'm here to do announcements. So, our biggest announcement for the week is our spring GCLI, that stands for Great Commission Leadership Institute, is this Friday and Saturday. There's five churches, including ours, in the Midwest region who will meet here. And we teach encouraging truth and doctrine about how to live Christian life. One of the things I'm going to talk about is how to deal with your fear. What do you do when you're afraid? What if you're nervous? And how can God help you in those times? And Chris Yang is actually covering a book called Canoeing in the Mountains. And I'm interested to hear what that is. We have several different topics coming up. If you can register either with Paula or we have an online link on Google Forms, if you can do that so we know actually. We have quite a number of people registered already, but it helps us know for printing materials and the amount of food we need to have. So I think we're going to have a good-sized group Friday and Saturday. So reminder for anyone thinking about going on the mission trip, there's information in your bulletin. Talk with Mike about that. The early trip in the summer is June 27th through the 3rd, and the registration, the deposit is due in 2 weeks. So if you're interested in that, you need to get your deposit in. So that's all I have for the announcements today. This is the time in our service where we take the offering. This is where we honor God with our wealth and say, "God, I appreciate you providing for me and putting first in our finances." So the ushers will come forward and the children can go to Sunday school.
Well, good morning. I got lots of extra accessories to set up here. I think we're good. We've been going this winter through a series on following in the footsteps of Jesus. And I think about this series, and I think about how we're really always influenced by people that we respect, right? We're influenced by attributes in people that we see that are commendable, and they cause us to be motivated to improve in that area of our lives, right? And we are motivated to rise to the to their bar, you know, when we see commendable attributes within people. And so we want to be like them. And it's true, especially in the Christian life. We're motivated to pursue Christ in a higher way when we see the saints pursuing Christ. I think I've learned more about the Christian life in observing people, the fellowship, other believers following Christ and following their calling. And that's especially true with many areas, but especially for me, in the area of prayer. There's been men and women over the years of my Christian life that I have had exemplary prayer lives that have spurred me on and made me think. And I've read about great men and women of the faith and their prayer lives, and it's definitely impacted me in that area. The homecoming of our beloved national evangelist Billy Graham this week comes to mind. Throughout the years, there were so many things that were commendable about Billy Graham, his integrity and his commitment to the gospel. And we just watched Elizabeth and I just Saturday watched a TED Talk. Have you heard of TED? You know, we watched a TED Talk that where they invited Billy Graham. It was like, whoa, they invited a preacher. He just, guess what he did? He just preached the gospel at TED Talk. It was awesome. But he did it in a way that was very winsome, and it was really impressive. At the age of 79, he did that. And one area that I think is exemplary in his life and his ministry in the Billy Graham Evangelism Association was prayer. And you're like, what? I never saw that. Well, that's because it was behind the scenes. You wouldn't have seen that. You know, everyone saw Billy Graham preaching at his crusades, and they're like, there's Billy Graham preaching. But what they don't realize is that behind these massive crowds of people at his crusades was a massive organization of believers from local churches behind the scenes praying for those crusades. Billy Graham organization organized all the local churches in a city, and they would equip them and train them in organizing the crusade and promoting the crusade and following up people from the crusade into the local churches, but also to pray for the crusade. And so behind Billy Graham's preaching was legions of prayer warriors, believers praying for the gospel and the effect of the gospel. I remember I was exposed to that in my mid-20s. When I was in my mid-20s, I had the opportunity to volunteer for the Billy Graham Phone Center at Wheaton College, believe it or not. And I don't know if you remember, this is back in the 90s, I guess, late 80s, 90s, but they would televise Billy Graham Crusades at that time all over the country on all these TV stations. And the Billy Graham Association paid for this airtime to show a whole crusade on all these markets regularly, like every month. They'd show all these television programs of Billy Graham preaching the gospel. And when Billy Graham got to the altar call, which was what he was famous for at the end of his talk, on TV they would put a little phone number and say, to receive Christ or to receive prayer, please call this number. And those numbers rang to a call center at Wheaton College, at the Billy Graham Center of Evangelism at Wheaton College. And so they figured, hey, there's a lot of Christians around there, so we can recruit some phone counselors. And so we were trained in that, and I remember doing that a few times. I think they stopped that eventually, but they would train us. They gave us the Billy Graham Christian Workers Handbook to teach us, to train us in what to do during all these cases. And I found this in my files this week. And the first thing that fell out was this workers' prayer sheet, workers' prayer list from Billy Graham Telephone Ministry. And the idea there was that, okay, on this particular night, June 3rd, four people I got to talk to. And they called in, and it looks like one called in for prayer for family restoration, got to share the gospel. One called in for depression. One called in for a salvation decision. All right, so they prayed to receive Christ. Another one to rededicate their life. But the idea there is we'd write down their names and what to pray for and those things. And then this was a prayer sheet for us to take with us then and to keep praying for these people. It wasn't just that they watched a television program of Billy Graham and heard the word. It's that they talked to someone, a believer, live, and then that believer kept praying for them. And there was follow-up that the Billy Graham ministry did too. But I think this is really interesting, the verse on here, 1 Samuel 12. As for me, 1 Samuel 12, 23. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Isn't that an awesome verse? Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. People need prayer. And so Billy Graham's organization, one of their strengths was mobilizing prayer for people. Mobilizing prayer. And that greatly influenced me in realizing the importance of prayer and evangelism, both before, during, and afterwards. And we're influenced by many people, yet the most influential man that ever walked on the face of the earth, of course, was Jesus Christ. And so this series, looking at his attributes that were so commendable, what an awesome series for us to be doing, to raise the bar in our own lives, to see how did Jesus live? Not just what did Jesus say, but how did he live? That's what we're looking at. How did he live? And it raises the bar in our own life to want to be more like him. Today we're going to look at one of the great attributes of Jesus was that he was prayerful. Prayerful. And my prayer this morning is that as we look at Jesus' prayerfulness, that it'll raise the bar of prayerfulness in our own life too. So let's pray for prayerfulness as we open. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the man Billy Graham, and he was just a man, but a humble man before you, and you used him to talk to presidents and kings, world leaders, and millions of people that were affected by his work. But his work was preaching your message, Lord, the simple truth of your love on the cross, that you sent your son to die for sinners. And we thank you for that message and how it's transformed so many, Lord. And Lord, but we ask this morning that you would teach us about prayer behind that, Lord, that nothing, that you're the one that does all the work, Lord. And your example, Jesus, when you were on earth, was one of a man who was prayerful. Teach our hearts this morning as we look at your pattern. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to follow along in your bulletin, I got blanks. If you like filling the blanks, you don't have to do that if it's too schoolish for you. But the first one is that Jesus spent frequent times in prayer. Frequent times in prayer. Often when we teach about Jesus in prayer, we teach about how he prayed, right? We look at the Lord's Prayer and we dissect it. You know, this is a pattern of prayer that we're to follow. Jesus taught people how to pray. And we look at Jesus' own prayers and we dissect them and look at, well, how did Jesus pray? Well, how does this show his heart and how he prayed? But this morning, we're not going to do that. This morning, we're going to look at this at a whole different angle. We're not going to look at Jesus' actual prayers. We're going to look at his prayer life, his pattern of prayer. How did he live in relation to prayer? And what we find is that Jesus was very prayerful. To be prayerful, I looked up the definition, to be prayerful is to be categorized by prayer. So it's a person who is given to prayer. That's a person who is prayerful, a person who is given to prayer. And isn't that a challenge just in and of itself? We could just go home right now, you know, and say, to ask ourselves, are we a person who is given to prayer, who is known for prayer? I know I'm not, and it's a big challenge. Are you known as a person who is prayerful? Well, let's look at Jesus' example of being prayerful in Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And you've read this before. The disciple says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then the Lord goes and shares the Lord's Prayer. It says, "When you pray, pray like this," and shares the Lord's Prayer. But there's more to learn from this one verse. And what there is to learn is that he must have been known as a man of prayer. He must have been exemplary in prayer. Because if you think about it, you know, when you want to learn something, you go to an expert, don't you? You know, if you're having plumbing problems, you call a plumber. If you're having auto problems, you call a mechanic, because you know they're an expert in those areas. And this disciple knew that Jesus was an expert in prayer and came to him one day after Jesus was praying and said, "Lord, teach me to pray. I want to learn from you. You're an expert in this area. I need to learn from you." Jesus was known as a man of prayer. And this wasn't a one-off event, you know, that just happened once. Jesus prayed frequently. It was a noticeable aspect of his life. And we see that in Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, Luke said. This was his pattern. He often withdrew and prayed. So noticeable that the disciples took note of this frequency of prayer that Jesus had. And the challenge for us is that, are we marked as a man or woman of God who often prays? Do people notice our frequency of prayer? Do people notice our prayer life? As a church, we want to be known as a church that often prays, that has frequent times of praying. And so that's one of the reasons why we've been integrating prayer into our worship service before and then during the announcements. We want to pray more frequently and be known as a church that frequently prays. So Jesus spent frequent times in prayer. Jesus also spent solitary times in prayer. So that verse that we just looked at, the other thing that we notice about it, not just the frequency, but Jesus often did what? He often did what? He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus spent solitary times in prayer, lonely places. That means it was he didn't have a smartphone with him. It was just him and no other people. Solitary times Jesus spent in prayer. In context, this was when the crowds were pressing in. More and more people wanted to come and hear Jesus. They wanted to be healed by Jesus. And I think he knew that that would distract his fellowship with his Father. So he needed to withdraw from the crowds, withdraw from life, withdraw from the busyness of his life and spend lonely times into lonely places and praying with the Father. How many of you have busy lives, lead busy lives? You know, follow Jesus' example. We need to withdraw at times, withdraw from, retreat from those times, retreat from that busyness and spend time in prayer, solitary time in prayer. Luke shared one example of this. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. So that must have been one of the lonely places and spent the night praying to God. He went out to the mountainside. And I think about that, he was often withdrawing to mountains or the wilderness or whatever to pray. And so it seemed like he often went to nature to pray. Now, I don't know if there's anything about that, except maybe that's all that was around at that time that was a lonely place to pray. But I do remember as a young Christian man how striking it was to be out in nature with the Lord, in a lonely place, in nature. I remember as a young Christian man flying out to Colorado to ski with some buddies, and one day I remember they were going to go do some other area, and I wanted to stay in this one area. So I knew I'd be alone most of the afternoon, so I took my pocket Bible in my pocket, and I took the gondolas to the tippy top of the mountain, skied a little ways down, and kind of off the beaten path found a tree to sit against and just pulled out my pocket Bible and read Psalms while looking at the expanse of the Rocky Mountain Range. It was awesome. Very memorable times with the Lord in prayer, in nature, because we know that nature speaks of him and of his grandeur. When you look at nature, you see the Creator's work and it speaks powerfully. So to withdraw to nature is a great thing. For me, I'll never forget those times. It's some of my best times. Do we retreat to nature to spend time, solitary times in prayer? The other thing we see about this verse, and we'll look at it a little closer, is that Jesus spent extended times in prayer. It wasn't just, okay, I'm done with this task, and now, okay, I got to run out and pray at a lonely place, and then at 11, I got to be back for the healing, you know, or whatever. So I got 20 minutes. Well, if I really hurry, I'll have enough time to pray in a lonely place. No, he spent extended times in prayer. Let's look at that verse again. Jesus went out to the mountains to pray and spent the night praying to God. How many of you can say that you spent a whole night in prayer to the Lord? I think I've only done it once in my life, in my Christian life, and it was in between sleep. You know, I was wrestling with an issue, and I was restless, and so I wake up, and I went downstairs, and I was praying, and then I tried to sleep a little bit, got up and prayed some more, went back to sleep. And it was in between, back and forth, between praying and sleeping all night. That's as close as I've ever gotten to spending a night praying to God in that way. But it reminded me, when I did it, it was reminding me of the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, where it was like the disciples fell asleep, and then Jesus was like, "Aren't you going to pray and watch?" Okay. And then they fell asleep again. That was kind of me that night, back and forth. But Jesus prayed through the whole time. He didn't fall asleep. He spent extended times in prayer. I think you see that other examples of that, like before he even started his public ministry, he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. And most likely, I'm sure, well, we know he was tempted in different ways, but also I'm sure he was preparing his heart for what was to come, and I'm sure he was praying as well. The challenge is this: will you consider spending an extended time with the Lord in prayer if you've never done that, or maybe you haven't done it in a long time? If you're not sure how to start, maybe just schedule a morning or an afternoon. Put it on your calendar, you know, like a date night with the Lord, a date afternoon, a date morning with the Lord. Put it on the calendar, because our lives, run by the calendar. So we need to put those extended times as blocks of time, date times on the calendar. One idea is to go to a forest preserve or a park. Make sure it's a place that you feel safe, you know, that you know you're not going to get injured or whatever. So make sure it's a place that you feel and are going to be safe, but go to a forest preserve or a park. And times when I've done that, I usually start just by reading the Word to kind of get my heart in tune with the Lord and start reading the Bible and journaling some things. Get out a journal, journal some things that are on your heart that you're learning from the Word, things that you need God's wisdom about, and then, I don't know, everyone's different, but for me, I need to just walk at that point. I just need to walk. I can't sit. And so I just walk, and those things that I was reading and journaling about, I just start praying about them. And sometimes a song comes to mind from Sunday morning, and I'll just sing it to myself because it's an extended time. I got all the time in the world. And so I'll sing, and then just sometimes it's just walking and being quiet. And the Lord brings a thought to mind or a truth to mind, and I'll pray, and it's just in between. And spending an extended time with the Lord really will help you sort out issues in your life, give you wisdom, and encourage you in your walk with God. Sometimes we need that. We need that break away from our busy lives just to be alone with God for an extended period of time. And I challenge you, if you've never done it, just try it. You may not think that it, you know, oh, I don't know if it'll be hard or whatever. Just try it. Give it a try. Well, the other thing we learn is that Jesus spent times with others in prayer. So he didn't just spend all his time praying solitary times, but he also spent time with others in prayer. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Always the mountains with Jesus. You know, he's always going to the mountains. This time, though, he took people with him to pray. That was the purpose. They went up there to pray. And we know the rest of the story, but the three of them went up with him to pray. So he prayed with people. He prayed with people. I was looking through the Gospels, and there was many times when he prayed with people. In one of the Gospels, it talks about how he prayed when he was baptized in that setting. He was praying. He prayed with the crowd of 5,000 before he fed them. He prayed at different times of miracles. He prayed publicly with people. And even on the cross, we know that he prayed. Jesus prayed with people, not just by himself, but with people. For me, I know I was challenged by praying with people one time on a mission trip. As Dean said, we're going on a couple of mission trips. My first mission trip was back in 1990 into Manila, Philippines. And I went with a pastor friend of mine, Mike Bergen. Some of you guys might know him. And he was going to plant a church in Manila. And so one day on the mission trip, he said, Mike, why don't we just, can you come with me? We're just going to walk through this neighborhood, some neighborhoods that I'm thinking about, and just see how the Lord leads for maybe possible future church plans. So we just walked through neighborhoods. And we were talking about stuff. And what struck me is that he would just start praying as we talked. And I was like, there's no transition. You know, it's like we're talking about something, and all of a sudden Mike's praying about it. I'm like, wow. He didn't say, oh, let's stop and pray. He just started praying. And then he'd be done, and then we'd talk some more, and then he'd pray. And we'd talk, wow, look at that neighborhood. That's pretty interesting. He'd pray for it. And we'd say, wow, look at that person. He looks like he's having a hard time. And Mike would start praying for him. And I realized, wow, you know, I'm thinking that it's just Mike and I walking through the neighborhood, but his mindset was that there was three of us, myself, him, and the Lord. He included the Lord in conversation, just like as if the Lord was physically there and talking between the two of us with me and with the Lord. That really challenged me. We need to be praying with others as the Lord prayed with others. How can you pray more with people? Maybe the Lord will lead you to pray with your spouse. I know that's been something that's been tugging at my heart. And praying with our the kids. And your kids might be something that the Lord is tugging at your heart with. Our church now has a time every Sunday morning with Pastor Greg that you can pray. And it's a great time to pray with people, before church. So those are some things you can do to pray, to incorporate praying with others. Spend times with others in prayer. Jesus did not just spend time with others in prayer. He also spent times praying for others. He spent times praying for others. I love this. This is one of the greatest verses, but we often talk about how Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, no, you know, I want the little children. You know, we need people to have the faith of a little child. But there's also a little nugget in here where people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands and pray for them. Jesus prayed for people. He prayed for the children here. One of the greatest prayers recorded in the Gospels, one of the greatest prayers of Jesus recorded in the Gospels is John chapter 17. We're not going to have time to go through the whole thing, but I encourage you to read it later this week. John chapter 17. Pull it out, read the whole thing. Here's a few excerpts. In this prayer, he's praying for his disciples, those that have believed in him and are following him, and he even says it. He says it in his prayer. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world here in this, what I'm praying right now, but for those, he's talking to his Father, those you have given me, for they are yours. And so chapter 17 is a prayer for his disciples. And what does he pray for them? He prays things like, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, verse 11 and verse 13, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. And then here's what's going to blow you away if you've never seen this before. In verse 20, Jesus says, by the way, I'm not just praying for these disciples that I know. I also pray for all those, for those who will believe in me through their message. He's praying for all the believers that believed in Jesus through the message that the disciples went out and shared the gospel. And I think that's perpetual for all time. So you look at this. If you take this personally, Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for you while he was on earth. Can you believe that? That Jesus prayed that you would be protected by the power of the name of God, that you would have the full measure of his joy within you, that you would be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that for his followers and for those that would hear from their message. And I believe so on and so on. Just let that sink in for a minute. You know, I am honored when someone says that they prayed for me. But imagine, like, when Billy Graham was alive, if he'd called my house and said, Mike Eichen, I just want to let you know I prayed for you today. You know, I would be like, wow, Billy Graham prayed for me. I'd be, you know, name dropping that all over the place. You know, that's so cool, you know. But Jesus Christ prayed for me too. Jesus Christ prayed for you, for people that were following him. How awesome and incredible is that? Jesus' example was to pray for others. Do we pray for others? Our LTG has started this little initiative, I don't know, maybe it was 5 months ago or whatever, where we said, well, let's just pray, because we share prayer requests with each other. We're like, let's just pray for these things daily. And so those of us that have smartphones, we decided to add an alarm at 1 o'clock, we decided. So every day at 1 o'clock, a little alarm comes on my phone and says, pray. That's it, just pray. And it happens to all of us, and we've just been praying more. You know, it doesn't mean we pray every day for each other, but for me, that's about when I go out to lunch, so it's perfect, 1 o'clock. I get the pray message, and I realize, okay, so then when I go out, I'm walking through the city to get something to eat, I'll pray for things that come to mind about my LTG, for my family. I'll pray for whatever's on my heart at that time, and to be praying for people. People need your prayers. We recently learned of a person in our town that we have known for years who has been, we just learned that they were struggling with something, and it just broke our hearts that this person would be going through this. It breaks your heart to hear of so many people who are suffering in so many different ways. People need your prayers. People need your prayers. Would you start a prayer list for people? Would you give your prayer requests? What do you need prayer for? Would you offer your prayer request to someone else and say, I need your prayers? Don't just keep them to yourself. That's what the body of Christ is for. We need to be praying for each other, for people. The last thing that we'll look at this morning is that Jesus was persistent in prayer, persistent in prayer. He even instructed his disciples in this. I mean, we see it in his life, you know, like at the Garden of Gethsemane. He kept going back again and again and again when the disciples just fell asleep. Which tells me it must have been a really long day, you know, before that. And the disciples were probably exhausted. But he persisted in prayer. Jesus even instructed his disciples in this. He told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That was the Lord's instruction to his disciples. Be persistent in prayer. Always pray and don't give up. Keep praying. Be persistent in prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he went back again and again. We have little glimpses in the Gospels of what he was praying for. Things like, "Take, Father, take this cup from me." He was struggling with what was about to come, that he was about to be crucified. You know, "Take this cup from me." And then yet he prayed, "But not what I will, but what you will." Be persistent in prayer. God's will for us is sometimes hard to follow through. How can we think that we're going to be able to follow through with the Lord's will for our lives if we're not persistent in prayer? Jesus needed to be persistent in prayer to follow through with the Father's will for his life. And we do too. Jesus told his disciples during that Garden of Gethsemane in Mark, we get another glimpse of that time, and he told his disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He told the disciples, watch and pray. He was probably praying that himself, that he would not fall into temptation to avoid what was about to come, you know, because I'm sure his flesh did not want to go through that. The world is full of temptation. You know, how can we think we're going to be strong against the temptation of this world if we're not persistent in prayer? We're going to lose if we don't go to the Lord in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Jesus needed it. What would possibly make us think that we don't need prayer for our lives so that we'll not fall into temptation? We have these prayer cards, and if you look in the back of your bulletin notes, there's some prayer goals, some examples of some prayer goals, and maybe I could have a couple examples. Maria will help out, and anybody else want to volunteer over here? All right, Elizabeth too. Okay, come on, girls, give them a big hand. They volunteered. Come on, baby. All right. If you guys could just pass out, here, I'll keep one. Pass out a prayer card to everybody. One where you can walk down that aisle, one down the other. And what this has on it is, on one side is our church prayer requests for 2018 for Awana, high school, ministry, college, students, adult small groups, our Sundays at Glen Arbor, and our building renovation and tenant transition. And then this week, for the first time, we're adding a sixth prayer request. And Greg and Dean and I have been talking about this for the last couple months. And Thursday, we decided to make this official prayer request this year for our church for his expanded Hispanic ministry. And it's been on our hearts in many different ways to expand our Hispanic ministry to the community. And as the Lord leads, to even have a ministry intern possibly to help us execute this, a bilingual intern. So be praying for that as well. These are our church prayer requests, and I'm sure you've heard these because we talk about these a lot lately. Even on Sunday mornings, we've been integrating these more into our Sunday mornings. And on the back, so we need your prayers. Will you commit to pray regularly for the church, for our church goals, for what the Lord might do through this church? Then on the back, our personal prayer goals for 2018. And that is not prayer request, but prayer goals to be more prayerful. And that's what's on the back of the notes are some examples to be more prayerful, like picking a time to pray every day or picking a place to pray undistracted, praying with your spouse, praying with your family, attending the Sunday morning prayer time X number of times. That could be a goal. Starting a prayer list for people, etc. Lots of different prayer goals. Maybe there's something this morning that's on your heart as a prayer goal that you want to integrate into your life to be more prayerful, to grow and be more prayerful like Jesus. And I encourage you today, this is the Lord's Day, Sunday, the Lord's Day. Don't just forget about this, but sometime today, I just encourage you this afternoon, this evening, take a little time in prayer and see if the Lord might impress upon you a prayer goal to grow in prayerfulness. And then you also the rest of it is just your other personal prayer requests, whatever they are, personal prayer requests. And this is wallet size so that you can stick this in your wallet. I've got mine in here. I haven't done my prayer goals yet. But what I've been doing is I kept this God's will for your life cross diagram from last spring. We handed these out. I've kept this in my wallet all year. And it's amazing. You know, every time I open my wallet to get my train pass, to pay for something or whatever, it pops open and reminds me every day, all the time. And now I'm going to stick in this prayer request thing as my new wallet thing. And so I encourage you to consider, don't just lose these things, but put them somewhere that you can see them regularly. You can put it so the Glen Arbor prayer request is on the outside and your private stuff is on the inside, so it's not exposed. But this will remind you as you open up your wallet, take out your purse, whatever, you'll remember to pray different things for our church, for yourself. And you'll remember your prayer goals, to implement your prayer goals, whatever the Lord has on your heart. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Jesus, for your example of being prayerful. What an awesome example you were, Lord, in your lives. And you set the pattern for us. The Apostle Paul even said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Those things that you are commendable in, Lord, which is everything, but in this case, prayerfulness, Lord, we need to imitate. And those believers, those Christian leaders and other believers that are commendable in this area of prayer, Lord, we need to imitate them as they imitate you. Lord, grow us to be more prayerful. And we lift up everyone here for that aim, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.